In Matthew 5, Jesus tells his disciples, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I am Rob West. We have that same calling today as followers of Christ, to share the good news of the gospel wherever we go, including at work and in the business world. I have some advice to help you do that. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We all need to look for ways to share the gospel with those who don't yet know Christ, but the workplace and business world can provide unique opportunities for witnessing. Business people especially come in contact with many different people, like associates, customers, and vendors, and while doing that, they can make a strong witness for Christ. And that doesn't mean proselytizing. A better way to interest people in Christ is to act differently than the world, by always acting with absolute integrity and honesty and showing respect and concern for others. God knows this, of course, and that's probably why His Word contains so many passages about work. We were ordained to be workers even before the fall. We see work referred to as a gift in Genesis 2 and a gift from God in Ecclesiastes 5. We're also commanded to work in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Work in its different forms is mentioned more than 800 times in the Bible, more than all the words used to express worship, music, praise, and singing combined. People in the business world have a unique platform through the practice of buying and selling to witness for Christ and leverage their kingdom influence. It's probably not a coincidence that when Jesus called the 12 disciples, many of them owned and operated businesses as tradesmen and commercial fishermen. And consider where Jesus spent a lot of his time during his earthly ministry. Of his 134 appearances, 122 of them are in the marketplace. He also told a total of 52 parables, and 45 of them have a workplace context. And the practice of witnessing in the business world continues with the apostles. Of the 40 divine interventions recorded in the book of Acts, 39 were in the marketplace. Obviously, the Holy Spirit and the apostles knew the value of witnessing in the business world. There's evidence for this throughout the Bible. In Hebrews 11, we find what's often called the Faith Hall of Fame. Listed there are the many who were saved by their faith, including Abel, Abraham, Moses, David, Samuel, Rahab, and of course the list goes on. They weren't all necessarily business people by today's definition, but they all used their position and interactions to influence others around them for God. Only one of them was what you might call a religious professional. In the modern world, we have many examples of business people using their influence to lead others to Christ. In his book, God Owns My Business, Stanley Tam writes, "Although I believe in the application of good principles in business, I place far more confidence in the conviction that I have a call from God. I am convinced that His purpose for me is in the business world. My business is my pulpit." We also see this demonstrated by the Green family, who owns Hobby Lobby, the Cathy family, owners of Chick-fil-A, the Maloons, owners of Correct Craft, and the Barnhart family, owners of Barnhart, Crane, and Rigging, who give away millions. Then there's, of course, R.G. Letourneau, who's often called the most inspiring Christian inventor, businessman, and entrepreneur the world has ever seen. He also gave millions to spreading the gospel. And, of course, the late Larry Burkett, whose legacy of teaching God's financial principles we try to carry on here at MoneyWise. He was also a successful businessman. Larry also wrote Business by the Book, where he lays out the biblical principles all Christian business people should follow. Larry was also intimately involved with the Fellowship of Companies for Christ and the Christian Businessmen's Committee. He passionately believed that your business is your pulpit. Now, I've talked a lot about the business world, but the opportunity to share the gospel with others extends to any work situation. You see, God strategically places His children everywhere. If you work for a paycheck or own a business, big or small, the Lord has given you a position of influence. He wants you to impact your coworkers, vendors, customers, and even your competitors for the cause of Christ. With the Holy Spirit, you can help point people to Christ. Christ and salvation. It's both a duty and an honor we should all gladly be a part of. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. If you haven't followed Bible prophecy, now's a good time to start. Because what's happening today, what the prophets saw coming thousands of years ago, are like mirror images. End times are supposed to happen in someone else's lifetime. But here we are experiencing exactly what the prophets told us would happen. Powerful people are calling for a global reset, a new world order, which sounds like a one world government to be led by the Antichrist. And the pending requirement of every person on the planet to move from our mask to the tattoo of a COVID vaccine before we can buy or sell sounds like a precursor to the Antichrist mark of the beast. Comparing current day events to Bible prophecy is guaranteed to put a bounce in your step and urgency in your desire to reach your unsafe friends before it's too late. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Money Wise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Election Day is November 8th. For the first time, iVoter Guide is covering select statewide ballot measures, some of which will affect voter identification laws and abortion. This important part of your voter guide is available now and can be found at the bottom of your personalized iVoter Guide ballot. To see the arguments for and against and other research, click on the More button or the amendment title. For all this information and more, please visit iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing money issues, well, they're heart issues. You know, the Bible does not call borrowing a sin, although there are clear warnings in Scripture around the use of debt, which means we need to be very careful in how we use debt. Essentially, the Bible says it changes the relationship. Remember, it says the borrower is slave to the lender. Well, that means we need to be on our guard. So we need to only borrow for appreciating assets, like a home or a business, maybe a college education, but there's a big asterisk at the end of that one. We need to have spousal unity. We don't need to deny God an opportunity to work, and we need to be able to fit it into our budget so that we can pay it off on time. What about giving? You know, we say giving is what breaks the power of money over our lives. It's a blessing to be able to participate with God and His activity through our giving. We can talk about that as well. Let's begin today in Philadelphia. Susie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, how do you get started with a budget when you're behind on everything?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it can be challenging, Susie. There's no question about it. And so I think the starting point is always to get an accurate assessment of where you're at today, both in terms of assets and liabilities. So what assets do we have? That includes your savings account, your checking account balance, other assets like a retirement account, your liabilities. What debts do we have? Who do we owe? And are they current or are they behind? We need to get all that down. And then we need to get a good understanding of what we're actually spending today. As money comes into our household, where is it going? It's simple to figure out those things that we get a bill for, but what about the discretionary spending like groceries or clothing or entertainment, things that we don't get a bill for? We've got to spend at least 30 days, perhaps a couple of months, maybe even three, to just capture all of those expenses so we know we've got everything, because there's some expenses that might occur, not on a regular basis. So a semi-annual insurance payment, an annual HOA payment, things like that. We've got to get all that in there. Not to mention, really, we should be putting money away every month for home maintenance and even Christmas, right? So we don't have that one big expense in the month of December. When we get all of that in place, then we have to say, okay, how does that compare to the income that we have, because we want to keep all the bills paid first. But what's also really key is that we get our spending to the place where we can rein it in enough so that we have margin. So all the monthly expenses are paid. We've got something allocated for the discretionary spending. We've got all the minimum payments on the debt. And then the margin allows us to make progress toward those goals that we may, you know, not be able to do all at once, but we can simultaneously or systematically begin to make progress in the right direction. I would say we'd want to start with an emergency fund. So let's say you free up $200 a month. Well, let's get that going systematically into an emergency fund until we get that to $1,500. Then let's cap it, and then let's take that $200 and add it to the minimums on the credit card with the lowest balance until that's gone, and then move right down the line. And so we kind of take these in priority order from that standpoint. Now, if it's even more desperate than that, Susie, where, you know, we're struggling to make ends meet and things are getting behind, we can't, you know, cover all of our bills, well, then we need to actually get down to the level of each paycheck and say, you know, what am I going to allocate where out of each check to make sure that the most important things get paid first? We got to keep gas in the car. We got to keep the, you know, the house current or the rent payment current. We got to keep the utilities on. We got to keep food on the table. And then everything else is kind of on the table for discussion once the big four are taken care of. So I think that's kind of, you know, the philosophy behind it. In terms of the practical outworking of that, our coaches at moneywise.org would be delighted to come alongside you and help walk you or you and your husband through the process of figuring all that out so you have a fresh set of eyes. There's no cost to that. It's just our ministry to you, and we'd be delighted to assist. But given all that I just shared, tell me what questions you have.
Really, I think you covered it all, and that would be wonderful if we could speak with someone in that industry.
Yeah, we'd be happy to. What are your biggest issues right now? Is it just keeping all the bills paid? Is it the debt has just gotten out of control? What do you feel like is the biggest problem?
Well, I feel like, you know, with the inflation and everything that's going on now, where we used to have extra money to just spend in general, we don't have anymore.
Sure.
And so now we're feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do here is to start allocating money to different areas so that, you know, everything is going to be paid and we will have a cushion, because in the past we haven't done that. Now it just seems like this is the no-brainer, because, you know, we're supporting my mother, and we have two grown children living with us, and you know, the food bills are out of control, and just all that little extra money that we had before each week is kind of eaten up now.
Yeah. Well, and the margin that you had was able to mask this issue, which is we really need a plan. We need a budget that says we're going to give every dollar a name so we know that all the bills are covered, that we're using this money based on the priorities that we have. And to the extent, you know, there's more month than money, meaning you have more expenses than you have resources for, especially in light of inflation, where do we need to cut back? What changes do we need to make? And then what system are we going to use to control the flow of money in and out? And that's where our app, the MoneyWise app, could be a great resource to you. Using our digital envelope system, you'd actually take the money in your checking and savings account, up to you, and allocate it to all of your envelopes. And then as your transactions come in, they would go into those envelopes and reduce the balance, so you know exactly how much you have left in each area. Now you're in control of your money instead of your money being in control of you. You stay on the line. We'll give you a 6-month pro subscription to the MoneyWise app, and then we'll tell you how you can get connected to a MoneyWise coach as well at no cost. Thanks for calling, Susie. Let me take a quick email if we can. We get emails all the time at questions@moneywise.org, and this one comes to us from Marlene. Marlene says, I'm 57 years old and recently retired. I work part-time and get a small pension. My husband and I have been married for 35 years, and our house is paid for. All the utilities are in his name, and I haven't had a credit card in years, so I have no credit. I just looked at my score for the first time in my life, and it's a 639. I'd like to get a card for emergencies. I applied for a credit card and was denied, not because of bad credit, but because of no credit history. I'd like to know how I proceed from here. And Marlene, it is wise to establish credit in your own name in the event your husband passes away. You can start by getting what we call a secured credit card in your name only. You would deposit $300 to, let's say, $500 in that account with the bank, and you're allowed to charge up to that amount, but don't. You'll want to make one budgeted purchase a month that's less than 30% of your credit limit, and then pay that amount off in full each month. When you do that, Marlene, your score will begin to rise, and in time, you'll be able to qualify for an unsecured card, which is, I think, a good idea, especially if you're a spouse and your only access to credit is as an authorized user. Keep in mind, if your spouse were to pass away, that card would be canceled and you'd be left perhaps without a convenient way to pay for things. So, Marlene, we appreciate you sending us that email. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
C-H-Ministries.org.
This year has just flown by. I know. It's already November.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Hey, we'd love for you to sign up for a free account at MoneyWise.org. That will ensure that you get our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. It goes out tomorrow, each Thursday. It'll be delivered to your inbox. I'll share a thought of the week with some practical biblical help for your finances. We'll give you our trending podcasts, our recommended reads for the week, some scripture and an encouragement. It's all there free of charge in your inbox. It's called Weekly Wisdom, and you can sign up at moneywise.org. All right, all the lines are full with some great questions, so sit back and enjoy. Let's head to Springfield, Missouri. Ed, thanks for your calling, sir. How can I help?
Hey, Rob, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, you as well.
Yes. I need some wise counsel. I've been retired for a short period of time, and insurance has been provided for me, but soon I'm going to be turning 65 and I can go on Medicare. However, my wife will lose the insurance, and I'm needing a feasible strategy to give monthly to the Lord, to our local church, but provide the, kind of the gap insurance as well. And I was just wondering if there's some sort of advice that you could throw my way.
So essentially what you're looking for is a way to get a tax benefit for the contributions you're making to a church or other ministries?
Right. And yeah. We've got a 401k, and wondering if that would be, a feasible way to, monthly give to the Lord at our local church and then use the money that we would be, have in our checking account or whatever to pay for the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. The challenge is you really can't do that out of a 401k. There really is no way to do that. You just have to take the distribution, and then you could make the contributions. And as long as you itemize on your tax return, meaning you get up above the standard deduction, then you would have to, the ability to claim that against your adjusted gross income. So married filing jointly, that's $25,900. The challenge is 80% of folks, don't get above that. And so therefore they take the standard deduction and you wouldn't get the recognition there. Once you reach age 70 and a half, you'd have the ability either now or then in advance of that to roll the 401k into an IRA, an individual retirement account, which is not a taxable event. It keeps it in the qualified account and then could continue to grow tax deferred. At that point, you'd have the ability to do what's called a qualified charitable distribution out of the IRA. Again, you have to be 70 and a half, but essentially you would be making a contribution directly from your IRA to the charity or ministry. You would not add that amount to your taxable income, to your adjusted gross income, which is nice. They get the full benefit of the amount of the gift. And when you reach age 72 and you have to take a required minimum, that qualified charitable distribution would also satisfy your required minimum distribution. And so if you were looking to take money out of that IRA to live on, as you said, you could just instead transfer that to the ministry and live on the money that's in your checking account as kind of a replacement for that. But at the same time, you really can't do that until 70 and a half, and you'd have to do it out of an IRA. You can't do it out of a 401k.
Okay. I didn't want to, shirk my responsibilities, being a believer in Christ to, support our local church or anything like that. I was just wondering, we can go ahead and take the money out, but we wouldn't get the tax relief, I guess, on that side of it. It would be after the tax would be paid on it. It would.
That's right. Yeah. So I love the fact you're wanting to honor the Lord with your giving. Certainly, we don't want to pay any more tax than we're expected to. But in terms of based on your age and where the money is, you would have to take that money out of the 401k, which would trigger that as a taxable event. That amount of the distribution would be added to your taxable income. And then you'd turn around, take those after-tax contributions, donate them to a 501c3 ministry, and then whether or not you get a benefit to that would be whether or not you itemize on your tax return. And that would mean in order to do that on Schedule A, you would have to get above the standard deduction for 2022 of $25,900 for a married couple.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just wondering how this was going to, we could do this, and it doesn't sound like there's any, magic that's going to happen.
Yeah, there really isn't. It would be great if you could just make that gift right out of your 401k at any time as a, and miss the recognizing that distribution as income. Unfortunately, that's not a part of the IRS tax code at this time. So I think just, take your distribution, do your giving as the Lord leads, and know that that's something that the Lord will use as you're faithful in your giving. And Ed, we appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Just a moment, we'll head to Kansas, Miami, Chicago. We've got some great questions coming up. Quickly, before we head to our next break, an email that has come in from Brad. He sent a question to email questions@moneywise.org. He writes, "We have a blended family. My wife has two kids. I have two kids. We have one together. We're wanting to set up a will. Where do we start?" And I would sit down with an estate attorney to draft up your will. It'll probably cost you around $500, but it'll be money well spent, especially since you're a blended family. There's other considerations there, guardianship for the children. Should something happen to you and your wife, would they need to be separated or go to the same place? Also, what about your assets in a blended family? I would direct you to a great resource from our friend Ron Deal at Family Life Blended. It's a book called The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning. And in that, he talks about something called a togetherness agreement that really wrestles through all of these issues specifically for financial planning and wealth management, but for blended families specifically. Again, Ron Deal, The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
On Election Day, will we vote for biblical values? One of the most important freedoms recognized by our founders is the freedom of religion, the first guaranteed freedom in the Bill of Rights. Biblical Christianity has been under assault in America. Secular people belittle the Bible, and people who believe it are attacked. Will we vote for candidates and a party who will protect our religious freedom, or for those who will take it away? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Money Wise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Take your calls and questions today. Dee Dee, Andy, Jessica, you're coming up next. But first, Bob in Atchison, Kansas. Bob, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, I'm going to be retiring in 2 months, and we will no longer have a mortgage or house payment, and we won't owe anything on vehicles or anything else. And literally, only thing we're going to have left is 3 credit cards. And both my wife and I, our credit scores are over 800. And I noticed you were saying how, well, if you have all these things, it adds up to give you your credit score. And if we don't have all this anymore, what will that do to our credit score?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer you can kind of put under the category, no good deed goes unpunished, because yes, your credit score will drop a bit when you pay off your mortgage, because it affects your credit mix, which is the different types of credit you have, a mortgage being one of those. So that's going to be affected. And then depending upon whether this the history of that account remains in the credit scoring formula, and that varies depending upon which algorithm is being run, that may or may not affect it as well. But what I would say to you, Bob, is that's going to be a minor hit. It will likely be temporary. But even if it, you know, did cause you to drop down a little bit and you didn't get fully back to where you were, I would say that's a very small price to pay to have the benefit of knowing that your home is paid for. I wouldn't pay a dime of interest that I don't have to, simply because I want to keep the very best credit score possible, primarily for 2 reasons. Number one is, at this season of life, you're probably not out looking for a whole lot of new credit, which means you don't really even have to qualify for anything. But even if you were to see this dip below 700, I mean, until you get below 740, even if you did go out and seek an additional loan of some kind, you're still qualifying for the very best rates and terms in just about every case with something north of 740. So I really wouldn't be concerned about it. I wouldn't look back. I'd just be grateful that you have the opportunity to pay this off and be debt-free.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. We were just kind of concerned that if our credit score goes down, we're like, oh, why, you know, and I figured it, from what you were saying, that, yeah, it would probably go down, but I just wasn't sure how far it would go down. in that. So, and no, we're really not going to be looking for any more loans or anything if we don't have to. So,
well,
thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And I think you'll see that any kind of decline will be fairly modest, you know, probably 20, 30, 40 points at the most. Because here's the thing. I mean, you've got, you know, a lifetime of on-time repayments and, you know, demonstrating your ability to manage credit wisely, keeping your balances, you know, paid on time and in full. I mean, all of that is going to lead toward you having a really good credit score, even though it may not be as high as it can be if your credit mix includes all of these active accounts that you had before they got paid off. But again, I wouldn't be concerned about it whatsoever. Thanks for calling today, Bob. God bless you. Miami, Florida, Jessica, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, my question is, since there's inflation and the market is down, is it wise to reduce my contribution to my personal mutual funds and then just go back to it percentage-wise when the market goes back?
No. In fact, you know, this is during a down market, Jessica, even though this maybe flies in the face of conventional wisdom, just as you're experiencing it going down, the tendency is to say, I'm going to stop contributing or I'm going to pull something out or I'm going to move it to cash. When in fact, the opposite is what you should be doing. And that is, as stocks are falling, as you continue to make the same contributions through what's known as dollar cost averaging, you're essentially putting the same money in through salary deferral that you were putting in when the market was going straight up, except because now it's down at lower levels, you're buying more shares of those mutual funds with the same money coming out of your paycheck. So as this market recovers, you know, you'll win in that because you'll benefit from those additional shares now recovering in value and moving to higher territory. And what we've experienced here, which I believe is temporary, by the way, in the sense that we had a market that was down 20% overall, you know, from its high, we've taken and we've recovered about half of that. Now, I think this is just kind of a short-term thing that's going on here. I think we could retest our lows. We could even go lower before we fully recover. But once we do, and I believe we will, well before the economy recovers, the market will recover, that's the time for you to be rewarded for those consistent contributions you were making into your 401k while the market was down, which allowed you to buy the same shares, you know, at lower prices. So if it were me, Jessica, I would stay very faithful to your contributions to your retirement account. In fact, if you have the ability, this would be a great time to increase them.
Yes. I just want to clarify that my 401k is maxed out. This mutual funds is just personal liquid funds that I put, you know, I set aside instead of putting in the bank.
I see.
So my retirement is okay. They're maxed
out. Okay, very good. Thanks for that clarification. Yeah, I mean, so do you have other priorities that would cause you to want to redirect these funds elsewhere? I mean, do you have a fully funded emergency fund? Do you have any short-term goals? Are you trying to replace an automobile with cash? You know, do you have giving goals you want to do, things that would cause you to want to take this money and put it towards something else that was a priority?
Yes, I do. Okay. So that's why... Yeah.
So I think if that's the case, I mean, the same principle applies with the contributions you were making to the mutual funds outside of the retirement account. During a down market, that's still a very good time to continue to contribute. And that would hold true with this taxable account as well. But I would take a step back and just look at the bigger picture to say, is there something that I would rather do with this money that's more in line with my values and priorities than just continuing to build up additional long-term savings? You know, if your retirement account is on track to have what you need, then maybe it's time to reduce debt, to do more giving, to put money aside for a short-term need so you can avoid using, you know, any borrowing in the future. I think those are things to consider. But all things being equal, this is not the best time to reduce investment contributions just because the market's down. It actually makes it more attractive. We appreciate your call today, though, Jessica. Thanks for checking in. Andy, I've got about a minute before the break. Tell me your question, and then I might have to answer it on the other side. Go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Rob. My wife and I are planning for her to resign from her job pretty soon as she has some other things on her heart to do to serve the Lord. We both have a retirement account. I've got a 401k with my job. She's got a pension with the municipality that she works for. We just want to know, as she resigns from her job, what our options are for what to do with the money that's in her retirement account.
Yeah. So do you have the ability to take a lump sum or to turn that into an income stream monthly?
Yeah, or turn it into an IRA, but we're not sure how that works, like if we'd be able to continue to contribute to it or not.
Yeah, you would. I mean, so, you know, I would look at what's the value of the lump sum that they would give you versus what they're going to give you as a monthly payout, just to see which makes more sense. In most cases, it makes more sense to take the full amount as a lump sum distribution, to roll it to an IRA. And then as long as she has earned income, or you do, because then she'd be able to contribute as a spouse, then you can still contribute to that IRA moving forward if you have the ability to add more money to it. Do this. You and I will finish up off the air. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, much more on Money Wise on American Family Radio. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The past few years have left so many people wondering, is there anything reliable in the world? It seems like so many institutions and programs we've come to trust have proven to be unreliable. Is there anywhere we can look? It might sound cliche, but the Lord is where we should look. Specifically, we need to remember His love. Paul was clear about this in 1 Corinthians. Love never fails. Prophecies, they'll cease. Knowledge, pass away. But love remains. And the Lord has shown His love for us by sending Christ to save us. Jesus showed His love not just by saying it, but by dying in our place. This love is unfailing. It'll never let us down. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
We're grateful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We've got some great questions stacked up here today, so let's make our way through next to Miami, Florida. Dee Dee, you've been very patient. You go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to get some advice for about a 72-year-old that I have a condo. It's paid off. It's worth about $350. And I also have a mortgage that's about $200. $140 is 2%, the other 60 is at a deferred payment at the end. And I was just wondering if I should sell it and pay off that mortgage or keep it, because I can clear about $1,200 a month from that condo.
So this is a rental property, Dee Dee. You're not living there?
Yes. Right, correct.
Okay. And so you're clearing $1,200 a month. Does that mean after the debt service of the $200,000 mortgage plus other expenses, you have $1,200 left over, or before expenses?
No, $1,200 on the condo itself, after the fees and so forth, the association fees and everything. About $1,200.
Okay. So let's back up then for a second. So what's the value of the condo? Is that the $350,000?
Correct.
Okay. And then the $200,000 mortgage, $140 and $60, is that on your primary residence or is that on the condo?
Correct. Primary.
Okay. So the condo is the free condo and clear. Okay, got mm-hmm. it. And so the only expenses you have, because you don't really have a whole lot of maintenance, are just the condo association and taxes, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And that's already taken out.
Yes.
I cleared
okay.
that $1,200 after that.
That's great. Yeah, that's really helpful. Okay. And then are you living on that $1,200 as a part of your income, or are you just able to bank that?
I can bank it.
Okay. Yeah, so I think the question really comes down to, I mean, if you were to take that $350,000 and you'd have some expenses, let's say you sell it and it costs 6% for the realtor and other transaction costs, I mean, you could probably take that $350,000 and invest it, and typically we would look at a withdrawal rate of about 4% a year, where you could just maintain the $350,000 and, you know, generate, 4% a year, which is still only after expenses, probably $1,100 a month. So right now, you're getting the appreciation of the condo, which South Florida real estate's growing like crazy. And they're not making any more waterfront. So, I think that you'll continue to see that part of the country perhaps outpace the rest, even though it may not go up as quickly as it has the last couple of years. But so you're getting the appreciation on the condo, and you're getting $1,200 on top of that per month after expenses. So that's a good deal, because I would have said to you, if you were to take that money and invest it, you'd probably be able to take $1,200 or $1,100 a month, but that's just to maintain an even $350,000 as opposed to what you're getting now. The only question is, do you want to get out of the business of being a landlord? Now, it's a little less than if it was a single family home, because you've got a condo association and they're taking care of the common areas and so forth, but you have to market it and make sure there's still a renter in there and, deal with the phone calls and that kind of thing. So if you're okay continuing to do that financially, I kind of like you hanging on to this property, letting it appreciate and continuing to draw this income versus selling it and trying to invest it. But I think that, assumes you're willing to continue to be a landlord for this property.
Yeah, I don't mind. That was kind of the way I was thinking anyway. But I was also thinking it would be good to get out of this debt with the house. So
yeah,
that was my dilemma there. So I'm
well, and you bring up a great point there, is I love the idea of you being debt free. And, I've said many times before in this program that I've never gotten a call from somebody saying, man, Rob, I paid off my house a year ago and I just really regret it. I mean, I don't get that call. So if you have either a conviction from the Lord around being debt free, or you just want the peace of mind that comes from knowing you're unencumbered and getting rid of that that mortgage, then I'd say this is a great opportunity to lock in probably a pretty significant profit on that condo and use that money to pay off this debt on your primary residence, and then you can invest the difference. If you're okay with it, though, I think, I would probably hang on to it for the reasons I mentioned, and because you have such a low interest rate on this mortgage. But I think at the end of the day, it's really just, there's the financial side of this, and then there's the non-financial side. We've been talking about the financial side. So I think the question you need to answer, DD, is how important is the non-financial side to you of being completely out of debt and unencumbered, and the peace of mind that would come from that? If that's significant, then I think it'd be worth it to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll go along with keeping it.
Okay. Okay.
Both ways is good. It was just that I was in a dilemma.
Yeah, I think that's right. You really can't lose here. And so I think you're approaching it the right way. But if you're comfortable continuing to hang on to this mortgage at a low interest rate and the condo's continuing to cash flow like it is, I think you're in pretty good shape and certainly being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. So thank you for your call, Didi. I hope that was helpful in perhaps confirming what you were already thinking. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Tom, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Chattanooga.
I'm sure it is.
It's great. It's beautiful here. All right. So my question is about a Roth. I'm over 50. My wife is not. I speak to my money advisor, and I understand I'm $5,500 I'm allowed to put into the Roth, where she is at $5,000. Is that correct?
No, it's actually $6,000 a year, but for you, it would be $7,000, an additional $1,000 because you're over 50.
Okay, so then that leads me to my next question. So 6 and 7, that would be 13,000 a year. So my question is, do we dip into the savings and put the 13,000 all at once come January 1st? Or is it just make it into a monthly bill, like a utility bill, and we divide it up? What is your thought on that?
Yeah, and so you're talking about for your 2023 contributions?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I would look at what's going on with the market. I mean, if the market were, you know, if we were at a low come January 1st, I might think about going ahead and putting it in all at once, just saying that, listen, we're long-term investors. The market's down 20 or 30%, and so we're going to just go ahead. If we've recovered to the point where we are now, let's say it's sideways between now and the end of the year, or we're higher than we are today, then I'd probably dollar cost average into the market, monthly. So I think the case, in my view, for going ahead and doing it all at once would be as if we really saw a pretty significant sell-off at year end, and you were able to take advantage of that by buying, you know, at really, you know, low valuations.
All right. So it's a game time decision.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I mean, you can never go wrong with dollar cost averaging, because then you're kind of smoothing out your contributions. So you're more closely associated with what the market's doing, and you're kind of, you know, using the ebbs and flows to, you know, systematically move into the market. I think the exception to that would be because that's when your window opens. If it just happened to be a time where we had seen a pretty significant sell-off, then I think that's the opportunity for you to perhaps do it all at once. But I love the way you're thinking, planning in advance, Tom. That's a great idea. And hey, you enjoy the beautiful weather up there in Tennessee. Take care, sir. Let's head to Illinois. Linda, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. My husband passed away July 13th, and I know that I have to get started on notifying different organizations and everything, but my main question right now is I have a $25,000 life insurance policy that obviously I will be getting. And I know I can just turn that over into purchasing a CD to add to our investment program. But is there another suggestion? I don't want to put it somewhere, and then when I do taxes, I'm going to be paying interest on it, because I know life insurance comes tax-free.
That's right.
Okay. And my financial investor, unfortunately, was my husband, who passed away. So I'm in between doing a lot of things. I'm just looking for some advice.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Linda, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. Yes, as you put this money to work, you're right. There is no tax due on the life insurance proceeds themselves. But help me understand what you were saying. You want to make sure that you're not generating additional tax based on how you put this to work. You don't want to pay tax on the interest?
Well, like if I put it in a bank account.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I'm going to have to pay interest.
That's right.
Tax on the interest. I'm looking for something that's very conservative, other than just buying a CD. Is there?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that we've been talking a lot about lately that I think could make a lot of sense. Have you heard me talk about the I bonds, the inflation bonds?
No.
Okay. This is a great option. I've just got a few seconds left, so if we don't get through this, you stay on the line. We'll finish off the air. But inflation bonds are issued by the U.S. government, U.S. Treasury, really. They're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, so there's really almost zero risk. You can only put in up to $10,000 per year per person, but given that rate, I think that would be a great option for you with at least 10,000 of this 25. You stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air and finish up there. And we appreciate you checking in with us. God bless you, ma'am. Folks, thanks for joining us on this edition of MoneyWise. So grateful to have you along with us today. I want to say thank you to my team, Pat Montague, handling our phones today. So thankful for Pat's work. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Jim Henry, providing me with great research and support today. And thank you for being along with us as well. Thank you for your calls and listening. Also for your kind notes. and emails that we get so often. We are incredibly grateful. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.